and gentlemen, the Hold Up Podcast.
Hold up!
Hello, Justin.
Hi, John.
I heard that you've been playing the new Pokemon game.
Oh, dude. Yes, I am. I love it.
So there's a new Pokemon game that's out for Switch.
Yes.
It's called Legends
of Arceus. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that
A-R-C-E-U-S.
Right. Yes.
I don't even know what that is yet, but I have put in a good amount of time.
Same.
You're the first person I've talked to that has also played this.
Oh, dude, I'm in love with it.
So, have you had it for a couple weeks?
I had it. I think I bought it
came
on
out
release
like mid-February,
day.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I bought it on release day. And yeah. I wasn't really planning on it, but we were driving by a Walmart.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? If they have it, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, okay.
And we did. They had it. So nice. I bought it. And then I had to finish up, though. Let's Go Pikachu.
Yes.
I had bought that in between Breath of the Wild.
Same.
And Legends, because I had seen that was coming out, and it sounded very interesting, this new
Legends
game.
Yeah, I never finished the Let's Go one.
Oh, yeah, no, I
didn't like it nearly as much as I'm into this one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, now, I don't think I could go back, but I wouldn't let myself play Legends until I beat Let's Go Pikachu, and I mean full.
You 100%ed it?
Well, I guess I would probably be in the
95. Those games are hard to 100%.
Yeah, because I had no interest to, did you beat it at least once through the Elite Four?
Yes.
So you know that those Master Trainers showed up?
Yeah.
I have no interest in fighting fucking level 100 Caterpies and then raising my own Caterpie to do
it.
That was all bullshit. So I did enough of them to make like the original Ash Ketchum show up.
Yep.
And then I fought him. And
right, because you play as yourself in that game, right? Or it's not Ash. You're not Ash like it is in the original.
No, they call them, in the game, they call all of those characters Red, Blue, and Green.
That's right. That's right.
I always name myself, even in this new game, Ash.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. So whoever I am in this game, I'm Ash, and I try to make my hair and get a hat that looks like Ash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
To me, that's, you know, just,
that's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't like, we don't necessarily have to talk about Pokemon for too long, but what is like sort of how far into it? How many hours have you put in? I guess is a good question. And what's sort of like your favorite part of it?
So I don't know how many hours, but I do feel like time just goes away when you're playing it. Like next thing I know,
always been
hours,
the same with Pokemon.
Yeah.
An hour later, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe an hour went by.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel like you did nothing, but so much. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So I just unlocked, I mean, only because of the story, to go to the third level, like the third land.
The
Crimson. Coastlands or
the Crimson Coastlands, I believe. Yeah.
So, because I've been trying to, I don't want to say 100% as I go, because I don't know what I'm doing, but I am.
You're
trying
not just
to,
following the storyline. You're doing some.
I'm doing
the
every
side quest
I can, and I'm trying to catch every alpha
that you come across.
That I come across, or for that area. So I think I have every alpha in the first level. In the first
first little world.
Yeah.
After the village.
After the village.
Right. Right.
But I was definitely not able to do every alpha in the. Like the swampland area.
Yeah.
I need to get a little bit more of my I need to get one more star, and then I think I could catch a lot of the.
Gotcha. There are 10 stars that rank you as a Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. How many stars? I guess, I think I have 4 stars or maybe 5 stars. Where are you?
I have 6.
Oh, you're killing it.
I'm a couple worlds in front of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I lost a week, stupid Puerto Rico, stupid vacation.
Oh, you went to Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Looked fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. You didn't bring your Switch.
No, I didn't bring the Switch. That would not have gone over well.
It's only good for like the plane.
Yeah, because there's no way I was.
No, what are you gonna do? Yeah. You're gonna play it before bed when you're there with your freaking fiance.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No way. But I did whip out the Pokemon Go.
Very cool.
And tried to see if there are any special Pokemon only available.
I haven't played Pokemon Go in forever.
I only got into it because of Let's Go.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't have anyone to trade with, and I wanted to try to get the few exclusives that my game didn't have.
Right, I did the same. Yeah. But yeah,
so
wow, can't believe
nostalgia of Pokemon coming back strong.
Yeah, I mean, I played like the when Red and Blue came out, I played that, and then I played like the Yellow Alt that came out, and then was it Silver and Diamond? Silver and Gold. I played those, and then when it went into like the gems,
yeah,
like basically there was 150 Pokemon to start, then there was another 150. I was familiar with those 302 ish. Because Mew and Mewtwo always sort of
Mewtwo and Celebi, those were the
specials, right?
That
came in between and it was different. I don't really remember.
Yeah,
I sort of fell off for a long time.
Yeah, after that, I you know, because I didn't have a Game Boy anymore.
Same.
Like, I didn't have a Game Boy compatible.
Or Game Gear or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was.
People were playing on handheld on Nintendo.
And, you know, it just started to get, like, I'll be honest, that's mainly my one, maybe my one gripe of this Pokemon game.
These dumb, like, these dumb Pokemon that you don't care about.
I don't care about them. I only want the 150 that I have nostalgia for.
I totally agree. My starting six is all OGs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
Like, as cool as Luxray might be.
Yeah, just have a Pikachu. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm not going to have a Raichu. I'm going to have a Pikachu.
Oh, see, I love Raichu.
Oh, okay.
So I did go to Raichu.
I don't know. They just make such a compelling case in the show about why Raichu sucks. And I just took that to heart.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I didn't mean to call you out on that.
No, it's fine. I like Raichu. I think it's cool.
No, yeah. He looks cooler. He's like more.
Yeah.
Edgy, you know, edge, like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm edgy.
You are edgy. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they whatever. Ash just beats Lieutenant Surge so bad.
You play anything else on Switch?
Only one game at a time.
Yeah, same.
So, like, It was Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, but that came out like 4 or 5 years ago now.
I only got a Switch 2 years ago.
Oh, actually, Breath of the Wild came out for the Wii U.
It did. Yeah, well, yeah. But actually, I didn't even start with... I started with Mario. The Mario
Odyssey. One of my favorite Mario games of all time.
I 100%ed. I got my little star in the safe.
Oh, wow. Like, that was... That's huge.
Yeah. And then I did maybe Tony Hawk next?
Okay.
And then I did, and then there were two new other Zeldas. I did the Game Boy remake one.
Yeah.
And the Wii U one.
Right.
Skyward Sword.
Yep.
And I did those, and then I went to Breath of the Wild for the first time.
Was Wind Waker the one that they redid?
No.
Because I redid that one. I did that one, too, the one that they ported and sort of updated.
Oh, I didn't know they did that one.
But it was still very much like in a 2D, top-down, Stardew Valley looking.
Yeah, Link's Awakening.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, because that's funny to tie it to Pokemon. When I got a Game Boy Color for Christmas, my parents gave me Link's Awakening and Pokemon Red.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild was the first Zelda game I ever played.
Yeah.
Never played it.
Yeah.
Always had Sega growing up. Had Game Boys, but never always played Pokemon on Game Boy or like Pokemon Pinball. I'm super into Tetris 99. I don't know if you ever play that. It's a free game.
Okay.
For Switch.
Yep.
It's Tetris, but it's versus 98 other people.
Oh, interesting.
So you're trying to outlast 98 other people.
Oh, that sounds super fun.
And so it's very fun. And like, the more people leave, the faster the game gets. So like it'd be like 50 players remaining and it speeds up. 10 players remaining and you're like, it's really fun.
That sounds awesome.
I've come in second a couple times. I've never come in first.
Oh.
Out of 99. But I love that game.
Yeah.
And it's free as long as you have online.
Oh, right.
You need to have the online service.
Which
you pay like $20 a year for.
Yeah. Everyone says it's only $20 a year. It's like, I got enough services.
See, and I like the sort of the old school games that come with it.
Yeah.
Between the NES and the SNES. And they're eventually going to do N64 games and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. I love the Switch. I think it's a great system.
I agree.
Yeah. But I don't play video games nearly as much as I used to. But Pokemon does have my attention right now.
When you play Pokemon and you have you can call mounts in this one, like you know, where you ride on the back of the deer or whatever.
Yes.
Does your dog lose his shit when the thing's on the screen and you're riding on it? Or do you play only handheld?
No, I don't play only handheld. I play on the TV, but I normally play muted with music on or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because they're not really talking, it's all subtitles.
Yeah.
And I'd rather listen to some like hip hop album than like sometimes I'll listen to the music, but no, the little flute, my dog does not flip out. Your dog does?
It has nothing to do with the flute. It's the fucking deer on the television that she loses her mind over. To the point that
Harry doesn't really care about what's on TV.
Or I'm playing handheld for the time being because it's so annoying.
YouTube's always saying like, put on this 10-hour video to occupy your dog while you're gone. I'm not doing that.
No. She just barks. Like, there's a... last night... Google,
oh my God. Justin's worked up.
The Google Chrome cast, you know how it's got like backgrounds that just shuffle through?
Yeah.
Normally it's fine, but one of them last night was just like this real close up of an otter underwater.
She did not like it.
Woke us up, just barking at it, you know, just.
Wow.
She's a little thing, and I think she thinks these things are in the house. Like she, and then I pick her up and they show her behind the TV scene, there's nothing there.
Nothing, that doesn't help.
Doesn't help, shockingly.
Yeah, sometimes we think our dogs are a lot smarter than they really are.
Yeah, they're something. They're smart when they want to be.
Sure. But they're not that smart.
No, I mean, when you think, I mean, look at their size of their head. And then there's a brain that has to fit inside of that.
Right. Small brain. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, good, speaking of music.
Good 10-minute ramble. Speaking of music, when?
When you were playing Pokemon.
Oh, okay, yeah. We could have done that like 2 minutes ago.
We could have.
Yeah. So on today's episode, obviously it's just us. There's no guests sitting here, and we made them sit for 10 minutes and just patiently not say anything. Not
contribute about Pokemon in any way.
Right.
I'm sure that whoever guest would be here would have some relation to that.
Right. It's another guestless episode, which is fine.
Yeah.
And we decided to do something different, and this is sort of will be the type of things that we will be doing now with the show. If for some reason you didn't listen to the last episode, just go back and listen to it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, like, I didn't listen to it, but I was like, you're talking to the guests, or the
people listening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. There's sort of a new format going on here. We highly recommend go back, listen to the last episode. We'll sort of tell you what we're doing. For this episode, we picked two albums.
Right.
One that one of us thinks holds up, and one that one of us thinks does not hold up.
Correct.
Do you care in which order we go and how we talk about these?
I think we should start with what we think holds up.
Okay. Gotcha. So I picked the Violent Femmes album.
Self-titled.
Violent Femmes.
Yep.
Yeah.
1983,
this album came out. They're an American folk punk band from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they have been a band since, well, they were a band from 79 to 87, then again from 88 to 2009, then again from 2013 until now.
Yeah.
They still are playing currently with a lot of the same people. Especially like the founding members.
I think the only non-founding member is the drummer that's still not involved.
I think that's right. Yeah. A new drummer joined in 2016.
Yeah.
I think most people might consider them maybe not necessarily a one-hit wonder, because I think they did have other hits, but as far as our generation is concerned, Blister in the Sun was a huge song.
Yeah, so this, John, what is your tie to this album? You picked this one.
Yeah, I picked this album.
So I have never heard, if you ask me, I've heard the song Blister in the Sun.
Yep.
And I guess it turns out I've heard God Daddy Gone, but because of Gnarls Barkley, not because of this band. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you that I would have ever known that the name of the artist that played Blister in the Sun was this band. So what is your relation to this band? How did you, like, what nostalgic ties do they hold to you, to what age range?
So yeah, Blister in the Sun came out. I thought it was very catchy. And I like,
but you weren't alive.
No,
when it
I wasn't
came
alive
out.
Then. So like when it like, I don't know. It must have been in a movie or something. And I probably could have done a little bit more research, but it must have been in a movie. The album itself is a quick listen. It's 36 minutes long.
There is a
deluxe version with bonus tracks. It gets up to 21 tracks. There's different UK singles and demos, but there's a bunch of different releases.
Yeah.
There, I guess maybe you listened to the 20th anniversary edition that came with 15 tracks.
Yeah, it was the album plus two Rough Trade UK singles. So I think the whole thing came to about 45 minutes.
Right, right. So this was very much like something that I probably found in late high school, early college.
Okay.
Maybe around the time where I had like a radio show.
Okay.
Something like that. And the first thing I heard about it was like, this was emo before emo. Like, that's what someone told me.
Okay.
Like, and being like an emo kid growing up, I was like, okay, I'd be into this. And I have loved this album ever since.
Okay.
I put it on at work all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's super easy listenable.
Yeah.
It is very emo and very whiny at times. He gets so whiny. He whines about girls. He whines about, like, problems.
Yeah, the one about, it was a bonus track, but I'm sure you've heard it. It's the car.
Yes.
You know, I want the car or whatever. Dad, let me have the car.
Give me the car tonight.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah.
So it's funny you say it was like emo before emo or whatever, because I guess I'd heard the two songs I mentioned.
Yeah.
One only has a cover of this, right?
Right.
And I can't believe this came out in 1983. It would fit so well now.
Sure.
Like it to me,
it sounds great. The production quality
it sounds
is great.
Yeah. The song, like, You may not vibe with, not you, but you, the listener, you may not vibe with this style of music or whatever, but you cannot say that, like, this is dated in any way. There's not one thing about this that made me
Screams
think it was
1983.
Dated. There was some screaminess in it. There's talking, I mean, the cavalier nature in which a lot of the songs I interpreted as being about, you know, dealing with drugs and dealing with not necessarily overdosing, but just like having to fight that battle, being sure. an addict.
Yeah.
And, you know, that in 1983, like, right. I just.
And they were kids.
I mean, like, and these were 18-year-olds that were right. writing these songs. Right. And to do it in 1983 is like mind-blowing. And I feel like it would totally, you could release it today and it'd sure. be totally like accepted. And I don't know, it doesn't feel dated in the slightest.
Right. And now, like, you are someone who still seeks out this type of, like, genre of music.
Yeah.
Whether, I mean, there's so many names for it. Emo, pop, punk, post-hardcore, whatever you want to call it. But I don't seek out this type of music that much anymore.
Right.
But I do listen to this album.
All the time.
Twice, three times a month.
Wow.
I put it on the beginning of work. People seem to enjoy it. It is relatively, there are some, like, maybe non-work friendly lyrics. I mean,
Blister in the Sun is kind of sure. like a...
Yeah.
I'm like, you say you played at work, and I was like, in front of the kids?
Yeah, no, no, not in front of the kids.
It's so easy to, like, not hear the words of that song. It sounds like such like a... I have to... That song was so familiar to me. It made me think I must also know a cover of that, or it's in... It must be in, like, some TV commercial that...
Blister in the Sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's always in, like,
Rock Band or something.
It, like, must have been in something. I'm gonna try to pull it up.
Yeah.
So under what context did you listen to this album?
Right. So I listened to it while running.
Gotcha.
That's where I tend to get a lot of my listening done, because I don't drive a lot anymore.
And you really had no recollection of the full album?
Nope. When I don't even know who the Violent Femmes were. I don't know anything about their backstory until, as I was stretching out after my run.
Yeah.
I went through the Wikipedia page just to get a sense of, like, why do I know some of these songs?
Yeah.
Might I have caught what they were in? And Blister in the Sun, when I was looking at the single discography page or the wiki page, I didn't see anything that, like, jumped out at me that would make me know it. Unlike which the Gone Daddy Gone track, they were like, this was covered by Gnarls Barkley on their debut and was, like, a huge hit for them. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's why I knew that.
So Blister in the Sun, the song that stands out to me the most, has got a really catchy guitar lick that opens the song. In present in media, it was in an episode of My So-Called Life, which is a show I never saw, but also was featured prominently in the 1997 film Gross Point Blank with John Cusack, which I have definitely seen, and maybe that's where I heard it for the first time.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so 1997 was when that film came out, so 14 years after the album came out.
Yeah.
And there is sort of a little bit of, like, an updated version of the song in that, too, and it was mixed for that album.
Oh, maybe.
And it's called Blister 2000. But John Cusack, who is involved in that, like, he produced and maybe even directed that movie, he wanted to use the original as well. So they sort of made this redub for the movie, but then he said, I still want to use the original.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Blister in the Sun, when I recommended it, you didn't even know necessarily what you were getting into when I said Violent Femmes, self-titled?
Nope.
No.
I was intrigued that that you were picking a pick from 1983.
Yeah.
And that's what made me very intrigued to figure out, like, what nostalgia this holds for you. So where does this take you? You hear this, you put this on all the time. Is nostalgia still a factor at this point for this release? No, you're beyond it.
No, because I'm still a whiny emo kid on the inside.
Sure.
And so when I hear this dude whining about, dad, give me the car, or just like being...
I just want to fuck.
Right. It just, like, brings me back to, like, the primal feelings of my youth that sometimes still have a hold on me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, it's relatively simple music. There's some fucking great bass lines that just like are all over the place. The bass is awesome. If you watch videos of them live, they're like playing a live, like, stand-up bass. A lot of fun on stage. They semi-recently, within the past 10 years or so, did like a live acoustic set, and they kill it still. Like, it's just something that you can find easily on YouTube, and they're just, like, a lot of fun. And I've never seen them live. Mm. I've listened to some of their other albums, and I've liked some of their other stuff too, but nothing has ever, like, grasped me as much as this. And I sort of wanted to go, with a pick that I thought maybe isn't heard of as much. And every time I put this on at work and someone is like, what is this? I am like, I'll die on a hill for this album.
Yeah.
So I just thought this was a good opportunity to do that.
I think it,
And I'm surprised that you weren't familiar with it, because when I remember, like, every time I see it pop up on a forum, like a Reddit thread or something, in like post-hardcore or pop punk subreddit or whatever, people always speak so highly of it.
Yeah.
So I had imagined if you had heard of it, it was something that you were like, this is part of like the history of this genre of music.
It's interesting that you see it come through, and maybe I'll notice it more now, but like, it's just, you know, I've heard the name Violent Femmes, like, don't get me wrong.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I knew nothing. I knew not, like, this out, as far as I, you hear about the bands that I often hear about that I don't still have a connection with, but like Rites of Spring, or like,
okay,
Texas Is the Reason, yep. Jawbreaker.
These are like late 80s, more like 87, 88.
Yeah. More, right. I would say, yeah. Even some 90s
Op
stuff.
Ivy.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
And even that's like got like, that goes
more
like
punk.
Into the more of the punk versus like the emo. I'm
right,
air
right.
quoting here.
Right.
That like people say founded.
Right, I always think of The Refused.
Oh yeah.
People love to
I
talk
love,
about
I
them.
Like,
they're great.
Yeah. I like,
yeah, they're great.
Lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, they're an interesting band because like I guess a lot of people do like their work before Shape of Punk to come.
Right.
But ever since they've come back and made other albums, no one seems to like enjoy them. And I still very much do. I had zero yeah. issue with the second or not the second, but the two albums that came after Shape of Punk to come that are both more recent.
Right, because they went away for a while.
Long time.
Right, and then came
And
back.
Then they saw how much money they could make playing Coachella, and I don't blame them. And then,
yeah,
let's keep going.
Yeah, right.
And sure, by all means.
Right. But Violent Femmes should be in the conversation of
I think they
emo
should, yeah.
punk. Like,
yeah, and to hear the term folk punk,
right,
which is a term I've heard, and the first band that I think of when I hear that term, and I'm sure people will laugh at this, but the Front Bottoms.
Okay.
Not laughing at the name, but just like, if
yeah,
you know
name,
that band.
Name's not great.
Oh, I love the name. I think
yeah,
it's great.
Okay.
But that's what I think of as folk punk. But they're like, that's definitely more on like the folk pop punk more
sure.
kind of vibe or
sure.
whatever. But it definitely has the same kind of whininess.
The term folk punk on surface level kind of like is not, I'm not a fan of.
Oh, okay.
Because like punk, like for punk to be folky seems anti-punk almost. But also, as I say that, it seems more punk because it is anti-punk. You know?
Right.
So, like, that's sort of, I guess, like, the juxtaposition.
Because folk is already on the outskirts, right?
100%.
You know, it's already, like, a
right.
counter,
not mainstream.
A subculture.
Absolutely.
And so, it, you right. know, like, hey, combine two of them.
Right.
But usually, I just think what defines that typically, and maybe I'm mistaken to say this, but it's, like, maybe the lead singer uses an acoustic guitar.
Sure.
Or, you know, there's an acoustic guitar while playing
mostly,
punkish style
right,
songs.
Right, right.
In
right.
addition to other instruments.
Right.
And
I think Violent Femmes is much more folky than
yeah.
what you're sort of saying, right? So stand-up bass,
yeah.
Drum kit being played with those, like, brushes and stuff.
Yep.
Very very folky in that regard, but also, like, it, like, rips and, like,
yeah.
is, like, heavy at times,
yep.
and especially, like, certain breakdowns or, like, the way that, like, a pre-chorus will build into a chorus will be, like, very whiny and,
yep.
like... He'll bring sort of, or the lead singer will bring like that, like punkiness, just like in his voice,
because
yeah. he's whining and he's like, there's like gravelness to it, and yeah,
it's funny. Like I guess whining is a apt adjective
yeah.
of describing his singing, but I never struck it as whiny either.
Oh,
which
okay.
like I just heard it as like, oh, I like this a lot because this singing style is very unique.
Yes,
like I don't know anyone else that really sounds like it. I'm sure I could. Find someone now, but like,
sure.
I think that's one of the things that immediately turns me on or turns me off to any new music is like, oh, this this sounds like someone else, I'm probably out.
Gotcha.
Like if I hear this voice is like, oh, it's sounds just like this other's voice. Like,
right.
I want it to sound like nothing I've heard before.
Sure.
And I found that to be true of this release of this record.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Hell yeah. So yeah. I think it holds up.
Yeah. Yeah. If you just play that for me,
yep.
And I didn't know that it was the self-titled from 1983, and you had to be like, what year did this come out? I'd be like, I don't know, like 2000? Like,
sure.
Wouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah. Because it almost has, what's that song that, it was in a commercial when we were growing up of Pepsi Loves Cola, or Pepsi loves hot dogs or whatever. And
I
had
have
that,
no idea.
It had a, they had a song that was, I don't want to say it was Me and You, So Happy Together, because that was for the Smash
Brothers. That was Smash Brothers, yeah.
Yeah. There was like another-ish kind of song, but if you don't recognize like the
Not
Pepsi
really.
And hot dog, they were two kids that, they were like just people handing out flyers, but they were stupid costumes for.
That seems vaguely familiar.
But I can't think of whatever song that was, but like that seems like the era this would have come out.
Sure,
like that,
sure.
Like that kind of alt-rock.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like alt-rock before it's alt-rock.
Yeah.
It's not anything like the traditional punk of like the late 70s, right?
No.
It's like way beyond that. It's really, I mean, it really is a transcendent album. It was really good. I was
Hell
really
yeah.
impressed.
Yeah, I love it. It's the perfect amount of whiny
yeah.
and emo and pop punk while still being like fun and doesn't necessarily like remind me of the bad attributes of being an angsty teenager.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
I think the album that we're going to talk about in the next few minutes is nothing but that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I do think some lyrics, you know, probably don't hold up.
Sure.
Sure. But.
But just like, please, you know, like that song, it's like the third track. It's called Please Do Not Go.
Yeah.
He's just like asking this girl, please not to leave over and over and over again. And it's so catchy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, let's get into the, my pick.
Yes, your pick for an album that you think does not hold up.
Yes. It was something that I had kind of re-listened to in the last couple of years.
Yep.
And I have super strong nostalgic ties to it. And I think that's the only thing that's keeping it around for me.
Sure.
I won't keep it. It was Senses Fail.
Yes.
Let It Enfold You.
Yep.
Was that 2004 or 5?
So Senses Fail, an American post-hardcore band. They're from New Jersey from 2002. Let It Enfold You was the debut studio album by them. And that came out in 2004. September of 2004.
Perfect.
Yeah. On Vagrant Records.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I lost my train of thought on where I was going with that.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. But anyway, yeah, on my drive here, I put
this on.
Is
that when you listen to it?
I listened to it on my drive here again. Yeah. And like I could sing every word to this album.
Yep, same.
So let's ask the same question. Do you have any nostalgic ties to this album? Do you know this album?
Yes, this was my favorite album at one time.
Same.
100% my favorite album at one point. Listened to it all the time, had a Senses Fail hoodie, saw Senses Fail more than once.
Same.
Thought that they were like the perfect screamo band at a time. Like,
yes.
Hunt, I was like, you want to listen to that music I like? Here's the album to listen to.
Yeah.
Let It Enfold You.
Yeah.
And I, too, have listened to it more recently and the last time I listened to it, before listening to it for this, mm-hmm. I was disappointed by this album.
Yes.
Actually disappointed.
Yep.
By how memorable I thought it was versus how memorable it actually was.
Yep.
How I was like, it's a 43 minute album.
So many fucking songs. I couldn't
believe.
There
are 13 songs on it. I could have sworn that there were like eight bangers, like eight songs that I was like, fuck yeah, this song rips.
Yep.
The last time I listened to it, before listening to it for this purpose,
uh-huh.
I was so unimpressed. Now, I did listen to it. I started my bike ride with it today. I rode my bike for about an hour and 20 minutes today. So the first 43 minutes was this album. I kind of loved it.
Okay, good, good.
I kind of was like, this is the right context for me to listen to.
Yeah.
I was like, I have a certain amount of time. I'm going to go ride my bike. It's cold out, so I'm going to ride a little bit harder. This was like I didn't skip any tracks until the last track. I was on the Martini Kiss, the last track. I didn't realize it was the last track, and I have just like one AirPod in. And so I double clicked it to go to the next track, and it just like went to like the hip hop playlist that I had queued up. And I was like, oh, that's the end of the album. That's promising.
Yeah.
That, like, I didn't want to, and I had a good ride.
Yeah.
I went pretty fast. I had good average
power. I was cruising
power.
At a solid 85 on my way down. Like, put me, you know.
That was not what I expected. Now, I'm not sure if that was because of my expectations.
Yeah.
And I will say that if I had not had any nostalgia for this, I would probably think this album sucks.
Yeah, that's where I...
And that's the problem, because the Violent Femmes album, I will recommend it all goddamn day.
Yeah.
This album, I will not recommend.
I would not either. And
or maybe I would recommend like a dozen albums before it.
Right.
If you were to make a
picture of
this time.
Unless you wanted a time of, you know, hey, give me the best of 2004.
Sure. It would be on that list.
It would be in the list. Right. Yeah, because, like, it'd be important to understand that, like, this is 2004.
But I think I would say, hey, I loved this in 2004. Between 2004 and 2008, I loved this album.
Yep.
But I've tried to listen to it since then, and, like, as much as I thought Lady in a Blue Dress was, like, the best song ever made, it really isn't anymore.
It's, like, not. It's, like, what even is this about? Like, it's just nothing.
There's no real context. It just seems, like, screamo for screamo's sake, but, like...
That was what I noticed a lot of.
Yeah.
In particular, on the most recent listen to discuss on this podcast, that one thing that, like, I don't mind screamy. I like screams. I like yells. I find that, I guess, I like when the emotion starts to boil over from singing into yelling.
Sure.
And at that point, you should be able to feel like the words that they're choosing to yell on make sense or feel like they have a lot of emotion behind the
words that need more pop to them, need more emphasis. Yeah.
And as listening, especially coming to some of the early tracks, like the parts where he chooses to scream versus where he doesn't choose, where he chooses
it
to sing.
It has nothing to do with the lyrics.
Nothing to do with the lyrics, and it's just screaming sort of for the sake of a scream.
Yeah, for a shock factor or whatever.
To be screamo.
Right.
And that is what I think makes this hard to say that it holds up in particular, because we were, what, sophomores or juniors in high school?
It was like the beginning of junior year, September.
September,
2004.
Right? I was just coming to a new high school at that time. Yeah. You had been there a year already.
Correct.
And this was like a big thing that our whole friend circle was like talking about this album. Like it was
we would talk
deal.
About music like every single morning. Right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And that's what we were talking about. We were wearing band shirts to school.
Yep.
We were talking about music in the morning.
Yep.
New music would come out, and that's what that would be our conversation.
That's right. And and this one was a huge part of that. Like
I
remember
sure.
because it had just come out, and
I wish I still had the hoodie. I loved it.
I
had the bird on the cover.
Oh yes, I remember the one that you all had.
Like
I have one. I think it's in my parents' house. It like they have a song on their first EP, which is like 187.
Oh yes, yes.
I'll rip your heart out or whatever the lyric is. I don't know, but that's on the sweatshirt and bloody red or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, but like dope hoodie.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. It was such a cultural thing for us, and that like I think back to that. Really optimistic time, as much as like I hated high school and struggled with weight and everything, and but I had friends and and like I made new friends and I was like whatever, I was in a new place, and I have so many ties because of this record specifically that I will always have that and I'll always enjoy it for that.
Yeah,
but like the third track,
You're Cute When You Scream.
Whew.
Yeah.
Bad.
Even that title sucks.
That title's bad. The lyrics of that are bad. Like, it is just such a fucking choke. And then the next song that, in particular...
Yeah.
See, I thought more songs were... like you, I had listened to it, not for this, but, you know, within the last year or so.
Yeah.
Thinking, like, wow, none of this is really great.
Yeah.
I
probably skipped 90% of the tracks the last time I listened to it. I was like, nope.
Yeah. And so I thought there would be... I thought there were more tracks like that were problematic. In the way that
You're Cute When You Scream.
And then Choke On This was another just like overly like violent and misogynistic track.
Right.
That I thought there were more like that. They're really, the rest of them are just, talks a lot about pirates and treasure and whatever.
What's the one about, Rum Is For Drinking, Not For Burning. I really liked that more than I expected. Yeah. But yeah, it's about pirates. Like that's fun.
Yeah, and then there's a few other references to, like, our, you know, our treasure, the heart is the treasure or whatever.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever. That was, like, those are fine, but I guess musically, I thought it was pretty good.
Sure.
I was trying to separate, okay, what are these lyrics versus what is the music happening underneath it. I think it's interesting music. I don't think production-wise it's very good.
No.
Like, it sounds super flat, which is, like... You know, that's a bummer on its own.
Yeah.
Which like
kind of happened a lot with bands
in this
new
era.
Bands at this era.
Yes.
Because it was very let's make an album and try to get signed to Drive Thru Records type of deal.
Yep.
And so like who knows when or how they produced this and like how much work went into it. Cause sometimes it was just like, let's put an album out and try to go on tour because Warped Tour's huge.
Yeah.
And like you can make money that way.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't really know, like, did they evolve much?
Well,
the album that came out after this, the name escapes me.
Still Searching.
Yeah, I definitely listened to that.
Yeah, but I think we, so as a collect, because it didn't come out till 2006.
Okay, yep.
Which we had, we, when it came out, we had already graduated high school.
Gotcha.
So it was fall of 2006, which meant we were starting, we were freshmen in college when that
right,
came out.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, it was, I found it hard to bring this to college. There were certain people that liked certain bands that we were all into, but
oh, it was this, more rare.
Yeah, this wasn't one. This wasn't one that people were into, and if it, it was more, it became kind of laughable.
Sure.
And that was, you know, that's kind of a, you know, a bummer. But I liked it. I still bought the CD. I listened to that CD a lot. It was the one that came after it. Life is a Waiting Room.
Life is not a waiting room.
Or Life is not a waiting room. Yeah, of course. Which is such like an aggressive-y looking cover. Yeah. I mean, it's like this dude in a gas mask sitting in a waiting room. But
yes, it is.
I remember putting that on with this would have still been college, but putting it on with like some friends of ours, and just there was like one song that was just so fucking heavy. That's when they got very, very
heavy. Yeah,
heavy.
They got heavier.
And then I don't know where they're at now, but they're still pumping out, you know, his new album, new tour. They're still going.
Yeah, they're still going. 2002 to now. They've been going for 20 years. They've had a good amount of, like, changes and
it's
stuff.
It's just Buddy.
And,
it's just Buddy's band at
gotcha.
This point.
Buddy Nielsen is the lead singer.
Yep.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever. People still like him, and I'm not trying to knock
sure.
him. If you are into it, great. But, you know, he knows that it's also interesting because he knows this is where he gets a ton of listens or whatever because they did a live stream from the Joshua Tree Desert.
Oh, okay. And played this.
They played this and they did Still Searching.
Yeah.
One at Sun Up and one at Sundown.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, they were cool to watch, but even listening to them that way, like, was like.
Did they play the songs the same way or did they do a different, like, Joshua Tree rendition to them? Or?
No, it was, if anything, he just, like, the singing styles he did was slightly different because I just don't think he can sing the same
way. Yeah, that happens a lot with these, like, leading singers.
That was the, so I don't know, we saw them a few times in high school.
Sure.
When we were super into this band.
Yeah.
One thing, this was the band that made me understand that, oh.
Bands aren't as good live.
Bands aren't as good live.
Yes.
Which. Now,
some bands are great live.
Some bands are I think a lot of the bands I listen to now are better live.
Yeah.
Which is like what it's a thing that I look for in the tunes sure. that I pick now. But like this was where I learned that wow. There's a lot of studio magic in the
right.
world.
Right.
And you can hear it in this
absolutely.
His vocals sound like he's a deeper voiced person until like there are certain parts in this where you hear his real voice and I can't think
and
of
it like comes through
and it comes through and it's I don't want to say it's chipmunky but like it's so different than what
right
it sounds like for the rest of the singing
right right
and then screaming I don't think he can do anymore or someone else was doing it and that person's not in the band anymore
sure.
I don't know but
right that's yeah. probably the case like they had backing vocals of someone yeah. and it's mixed a little bit differently
yeah
and yeah like that will do numbers to your for your voice box and your vocal
yep.
cords.
Yep.
And there are some bands and like leading people that go and take like the right voice lessons and learn how to sing. Like Rest in Peace Every Time I Die. But Keith Buckley was one of the best at that.
Yep.
I think
he was
at changing his voice, but still pushing the boundaries of like what his voice can do
yep.
and learning how to sing. And it seems like most of these bands, I mean,
you know who taught him how to do that?
No.
Daryl Palumbo of Glassjaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because he was another guy that went through, I mean, was like, hey, I'm not even going to sing anymore because it's damaging my body.
Oh, Daryl.
For a while, right?
Well, yeah, he had a lot of
he had other issues. Right, right,
stuff.
Right.
He had Crohn's
but there were
disease,
that happened but, to yeah. a lot of bands then where like, they were like, we can't sing like this anymore.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, because you're 18 or 20, you're fucking drinking heavily, you're smoking cigarettes, you're yep. screaming your lungs out, and then you're like, oh, this is not sustainable.
Right.
This is bad for my body, and also it's going to be bad for my image, because we're not going to be able to play music like this anymore, so we need to learn how to make different music or sing differently.
Right.
And yeah, it doesn't... Unfortunately, I don't think it happened with Senses Fail. Maybe I'll try to listen to this album that came out in 2020-ish
What's
called
the name
Hell
of that?
Is In Your Head.
Yeah, I thought that was already out, or I thought it was not out yet.
That's sort of their 2020 to present day. It is out, but I'll give it a listen. I haven't listened to it.
I bet
it's trash.
Yeah, there's been very
more trash to me.
Yes, there's nothing that has made me want to go back to this band. Like, other than the albums that I have nostalgic ties to, there's no reason for me to.
Right.
I've not felt compelled to go.
And
back.
I wouldn't even. I would say, so I'm going to say, I do not think Let It Unfold You holds up.
I agree.
I agree with you thinking it doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
It was more fun for me to listen to this time around, just based on the context, I think.
Yes.
But there's no way in hell I'm going to be playing it at work.
No.
Like I do Violent Femmes, or there's no way I'm even going to put it on like around the house.
Agreed.
I don't think my lovely wife Jocelyn will enjoy it at all. Like she sort of enjoys Violent Femmes, puts up with some of the other music that I play on around the house. But,
Sphere or whatever she said, the she's stuck in the dome.
Yeah, the Earl sweatshirt dome. We listened to Earl sweatshirt before. But yeah, like this is only good because I liked that hoodie. And I can picture the lockers that we stood around in high school.
How important that was.
Right. That was important. Yeah.
And that's what this album has for me. Do love the album cover of this.
Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. It's great. Probably their best album cover. Maybe the EP before it was pretty good. But
yeah, like maybe I'm going to go and see if there's old Senses Fail merch on eBay. And if it's not overly priced, I'll buy a hoodie or something.
Because I am a sucker for a hoodie. Mercari, that's where the emo kids are selling.
Oh, are they selling on Mercari?
Yeah.
I have $8 to Mercari.
I bet you find some shit on there.
I think the last thing I bought was like a Kanye Life of Pablo hoodie or sweater, t-shirt or something. So yeah, that makes sense. Wow. Okay. That's a good eBay hole to fall into.
Yeah. And so I'll just end with this, I guess, this final thought.
Yeah.
This album and Story of the Year's Page Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those at the same trip to Newbury Comics junior year to fit in.
Yeah.
Right. That was what everyone was talking about at the lockers one day. And I was like, I have to go to Newbury Comics tonight. I didn't have a license. Mom.
Yeah.
And then there was a parental advisory sticker on one of them. And that was a whole fucking thing. But I was like, I need these two CDs. It's what everyone is talking about. And I bought a Dickies backpack at the same time, bought a Dickies messenger bag. I went from day one being like fucking loser with baggy pants, super fucking baggy pants, because I didn't know what style was. And because I'd worn a uniform for my whole life.
The Junko jean bondage pants that you were wearing when we like first met are so memorable to me. Black with like blue accents. A terrible color combo. Actually, they might have been mostly blue with black accents. Did you ever own like
I wasn't
royal
allowed
blue?
To own bondage pants.
Uh-huh. But they were close. They had straps all over them.
Okay. Let me just clarify what I had. I had black Genco jeans, okay?
Yep.
What they had on the front left and the back right were two massive dragon patches.
Yes.
Encompassing like a flaming yin-yang.
Yes.
It was the same patch on the left leg in the front, the right leg in the back. I wore those. They were, I mean, they fit fine in the waist, but they were Genco jeans, so you could have put like three people in the actual leg pants. Yeah. And on top of that, I would wear three wallet chains at the same time.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
They were of varying lengths, and that was what I got away with.
Gotcha.
That was what I was allowed to get away with. And then I had blue hair. But it wasn't permanent blue hair. It was gel blue because, again, I wasn't allowed.
So you had gel that you had put in your hair to style your hair.
And like, it was
blue. When you shampoo, when you took a shower, it washed out.
Stay in the tub, yeah. Every time. But somehow that was better for my mother to clean the tub that way than, because I wasn't going to clean the tub.
Than you actually
just having
blue
hair.
Because you weren't wearing blue hair to Catholic school.
No, they wouldn't let that fly.
The school wouldn't.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
So, I was wearing that shit through 10th grade because I had to wear a uniform to school most days.
Right.
The couple of days a weekend that I would.
You're really letting your freak flag fly.
Yeah, I had no idea what was in or what was not in.
Sure.
And so this new school was public school and didn't wear a uniform. You know, I wore this shit the first day.
Yeah.
And the next day I was like, I need a new backpack. I need a new this. I need a new that. And I need this music.
Because you felt like you wanted to fit in, or because people like actually pressured you into wearing something?
No, I just wanted to fit in.
Gotcha.
Only in retrospect did I learn that people were being pressured to be my friend by other friends that I, whatever, and I wasn't, I didn't have my own feet to stand on. But anyway, that's not the point. Point is, I got Story of the Year at the same time, and I recently listened to that album again. And I would say, we don't have to discuss it, but I'll leave you listeners with it.
Page Avenue,
Story of the Year. It's the same era. I think it totally holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
Just remember, Until the Day I Die is not about a girl. It's about his best friend. About being best friends with your bro.
Yeah.
And I think if you know that, the whole album is like, it's really good.
Yeah. I believe that. That's a nice thing so for your homework listeners.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Senses Fail, Let It Unfold You. Listen to Story of the Year's Page Avenue, and listen to
Violent Femmes.
Yeah, Violent Femmes.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's really good.
Cool.
Is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we get out of here?
No.
Check us out on social media. We still have the same Instagram as before, at the Hold Up Podcast.
Yep. You can go to if this music's your thing, you can go to the We Were Young Festival in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be relatively easy to get tickets and inexpensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any idea what's going on. Well, they added a third day.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not going. Oh, I know some people that said they want to go.
I know a lot of people said they wanted to go, and then it somehow became the new Fyre Festival, and all anyone is doing is just making fun of it.
Right.
But, like, not the bands, but just, the festival. The nature of it being a festival. Like, they are calling the next Fyre Festival. And it's like, right away, no one is asking you to, leave the country. You're going to be a 20-minute walk from the Vegas Strip. So even if it's a disaster.
Here's the problem. Everything is sensationalized these days.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
Everything is either the best it's ever been or the worst it's ever been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is the end of February as we record this. The NBA All-Star Weekend was last weekend.
Okay.
The dunk contest was lauded as the worst dunk contest of all time.
Okay.
Twitter had a field day. Worst dunk contest ever. The All-Star Game, which was the next day, best All-Star Game of all time. Get the fuck out of here. That's not how the world works.
Yeah.
It was an entertaining All-Star Game.
Yeah.
And the dunk contest, I agree, was pretty trash. But why is everything either the best or the worst? Yeah. It's because the internet has ruined us.
Uh-huh.
Everyone only shares really, really good things or really, really bad things. No one ever is just like honest or surface level. I got a little bit philosophical here at the end, but the world is trash.
It's important.
2022 is going to be the worst year ever, even though actually it might be. But 2021 was the worst year, as was 2020. And remember 2016 when all the celebrities died? That was the worst year.
Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to find the good in this year.
Sure. Just like maybe unplug. It's good to unplug a little while, except for when you're listening to this podcast. Keep it plugged in. Keep listening.
Right.
But don't be so sensationalized. Don't let yourself become sensationalized by the internet and just live your life. Stop comparing it to other people's lives.
Yeah.
Sharing everything all the time. Just live your fucking life. God, why did I get like this at the end of this episode? What the hell happened to me?
It's okay. It's all right.
My voice seems gravelly. Maybe I've been listening too much Senses Fail.
Were you trying to scream the lyrics? Because I was. And then I realized I can't do this.
I wasn't trying to scream the lyrics while I was riding my bike. That would seem insane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to scream in the car.
Just like a cigarette on your breath or whatever the fuck.
The bike to break skin breakdown.
Yeah.
Where he really goes off in the screams. That was great, except the two pre-screams that were like really under the mix, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, that's so stupid.
It's like that whisper scream.
Yeah. But then the bite down break screen. I can only whisper it because I cannot
really
to my vocal cords in the slightest.
Bad for you.
All right. Anyway.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good one. Give us a call. Do we still have a number?
We don't have a number. We can set a number back up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it. I don't have it right now.
Yeah, just send us a DM and tell us your thoughts.
Call us at 1-800-411-AT&T. What was one of those? Or 1-800-CALL-COLLECT. Call us there. Call us collect.
1-800-1010-220.
1010-220. That ad holds up. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Decaf left, regular right. Decaf left, regular right. It's very challenging work.